Blog Talk Radio.
Today, among the birthdays, which are important to us, is Savonarola. He was an Italian monk who railed and preached against the corruption of one of the Borgia popes, one of the Alexanders. And, of course, there's Cesare Borgia, this was a Spanish family that took over Italy and the papacy and very corrupt. And, of course, there was Lucretia, who invited people to dinner, and it was truly their last meal. Anyway, he was the Borgias, which were very corrupt members of the Catholic Church, his hierarchy, and one of the popes, Alexander VI, I think, father of children. He made one of his sons a cardinal, all kinds of dirty deeds. Anyway, they got tired of Savonarola, and so they accused him of heresy. He was hung and then burned at the stake. And this, I think he operated out of Florence. Among the other birthdays today, Margaret Taylor, the wife of General Taylor, old Rough and Ready during the Mexican War. And his President Taylor's vice president was John Tyler, who was related to President Harry Truman was related to John Tyler. If you remember War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells, Herbert G. Wells was born on this date. And then one of the most corrupt African presidents after Ghana became independent, Kwame Nkrumah, his birthday. And then the son of Mary Rogers, Larry Hagman. And if you saw the TV show Dallas, that was Mary Rogers' son. Her heart belonged to daddy and produced Larry Hagman. Famous black actor Melvin Van Peebles, his birthday. Canadian, who was a folk singer, Leonard Cohen, born in Montreal. If you remember Laughing, there was a little midget, Henry Gibson, with the poker face. And then, of course, here's Bill Curtis of CBS News. Unfortunately, he wouldn't do anything for military personnel whose rights were abused by a local civilian authority. He worked in Chicago out of CBS, I remember him. And then, of course, this guy worked with Carter, Hamilton Jordan. And, of course, President Carter's grandson has surfaced in this bit to trip up Mitt Romney. And then we have, if this is appropriate, Stephen King's birthday is today and all of this these horrors. And then Bill Murray, who was a comedian, born in Evanston, Illinois, his birthday. Among the deaths today, we have Edward II, Nathan Hale, who was caught as a spy In his last words, was he only had one life to give for his country, and he gave it. Anthony Comstock, who was one of these Puritans who went around fighting pornography and alcohol and all that sort of thing, and he worked with Carrie Nation. They were around about the same time. Really, people who were disturbing, to say the least. Then we have Anastasio Somoza, who his family, the Somoza family.
Among your aunt's international company, it's non-union. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, have you ever discussed your feelings or your views with your fellow workers? Or how do they feel? Do you ever pick up anything? Do they feel that they're being treated fairly? You're getting health care and benefits, and I don't know if you get discounts on the products. But how do you feel about the workplace working in a non-union environment?
Well, the way that I think across the board that lots of companies that are, you know, that are like operated, they're known, they'll, you know, they're big, all of their companies are say like, you know, statewide, you know, they're, you know, statewide, but their, you know, the owners are overseas whatever the case like might be. It's the whole thing is that everybody's like trying to like cover. Is just trying to like, you know, cover their butts, making sure that their whole company like paradigm is something that's going to be a successful one, and keeping those models intact, it's cutting, you know, what can we do, fat trimming, and essentially what you find everywhere is just the marginalization of the employees, whether they like it or not, and whether I think even if the employer wants to or not, everybody's trying to maintain these particular like profit like margins for the continued success. And there's a lot of externalities like to it, and there's a lot of different factors too that come into play that aren't, you know, that are very complicated, such as the price of the barrels of crude and so forth. So I don't know whether or not people are happy by it. I mean, people just accept it. Folks, it's, you know, people are happy to have a job, and you are told as much if there's any second feelings about the place of work on that matter. So.
Do you think, though, that final question, Jim? Do you think that if your place and company was unionized, would it be a better place? Or would you feel more secure, or would it just? What do you think? Would it make a difference?
That's a complicated one. The systems of mediation, how mediation is appointed, is really at this juncture. It's very difficult. I mean, there's been a lot of the teeth have been taken out. Like in a sense, it's not the same. There's a lot of other like factors that have essentially softened up the influence like of arbitration to the point where it's there for show when it does exist, but it's shadow really these mediation the whole like the mediation is like it's a facade. If it does exist, and it essentially say yes, you know, we are keeping things together with our workers, and but it companies have set up a lot of like, you know, strict, you know, guidelines by which the union folks like have to follow. So it's not even, it's pretty much they're like a third party that's somehow like, you know, just like somewhere keeps things like at a certain constant, but it's not a very, it doesn't seem to be the most effective tool for any kind of dialogue. I mean, in some cases I strongly feel that it could turn around. At this juncture, currently stands as a very impotent tool to provide a human face or a human sense of togetherness or of some kind of siblinghood that you would have like with your fellow workers. But as the company, the corporation, in the private or public sector, essentially stands alone as an entity, they're a person, they're an individual. So we essentially serve a demagogue that is somehow like, you know, the face is the company. The company name is a product, and everything is product driven. Everything is the individual that is the company. And then, you know, and then if anything, even though you're given like really little, you know, the best thing you got is a human resources department, which has more so than ever sort of served as the buffer zone where these things that would normally like be dealt by the arbitration then are completely like, you know, they're broadsided by these appointed departments that deal with the needs of the employees, but on an incredibly on the company's own terms. There's nothing that's done outside of or that would take any decision like out of the company's hands for.
So you don't have a backup. So if there were a union where you worked, the union rep or shop steward would, if there were a dispute between the employee and the management, that the shop steward would accompany you to a meeting and, in effect, be your advocate or protect you from being abused by the management. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in this case, there was arbitration, but there's no, not everything. Everything is handled between everything. You know, everything nowadays is between supervisor to the peon, and then there's a representative head guy, there's a bigger guy that oversees like that, like, you know, cluster of other like stores and so forth, and then so on. It's the you know, like those, like the Russian doll, like paradigm or something.
So now, if you had a son, I'm assuming you don't, and he was asking you, Dad, what does my future look like? Would it be, would my life standard of living be better than yours or your grandfather's? What would you tell your son if you had one and was asking you that question today? Would his life be better? Like, that's been the thing of America, of everybody who's come to America, immigrants or even people who were born here, that the fathers and the families want their children to have a better life and better opportunities and more opportunities than they had. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, ideally, yes, you want that. The only thing I was ever told was, essentially, you build it yourself, and building blocks is a reason. I mean, there's a reason why you're given like building blocks in the development, the developmental stages of growing up. You're taught to manufacture and manifest your own destiny.
So you got to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. Is that what you're saying?
In a sense, there's no. you've got to be a self-made person. You can't rely, I think, on anything, Social Security or I don't know. I mean, benefits are great when you can get them, where you can get them, and gosh, for as long as they're getting good, but
are available.
Nothing is a sure thing, and you understand that, and that's, in a sense, that's the good news, and I think that's.
So you got to be a survivor. Would you say that's accurate?
Completely, very much so. I mean, it's almost like a Darwinian logic of sorts. You've got to make your own homestead, your own heaven, your own hell, your own place.
Some people are making it hell for other people. Well, Jim, any final comments or observations since you're in an unusual situation, considering your family history and everything?
I think the future is still unwritten, and there's a great chance for all kinds of good things. I feel very.
You're optimistic.
Very much so.
Okay.
What we're up against, I feel that we the people still have the power to make a world that's more tolerant and understanding, and we don't all have to agree, and that's the good news. And so if we can get to that point, and then we can have
dialogue. I think, is that fair to say, to end everything? Okay, Jim, it's great talking to you, and of course I see you from time to time. And you look content in a sense, but it's good that you're thinking about these issues or have thought about them, and we appreciate you for being on the program. And so I'll probably see you next weekend. Let's hope this comes out. I'll edit this last comment out.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Take care, Jim. And I'll let you know how it came out.
Yeah, wonderful.
Take care. Have a good weekend. Bye.
You as well.
And thanks for being on the program.
Anytime.
Bye.
Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clap?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet.
Where's the call of
thumb? All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.